We'll now be served by our brother Bob Gray. He has entitled his thoughts this afternoon, A Passage to India. A Passage to India.
Thank you, Brother Dan, and thank you, Brother Jerry. And if this thing works, that'll even be better. I mean, we'll see what happens. This may have all shut itself down already. My power cord fell off.
Hey, it's working. First of all, I'd like to thank the brethren here for having us. We bring you love from Brother John Baker, who should be standing here right now. But he sends his love, and so does Sister Karen. And Brother Jerry announced our subject, and we are going to try to give you some of the visuals as well as the sounds of what we experienced this past month of March, 2 months back. May I just say this? We are very thankful, Rebecca and I, and Brother Rick as well, for the overruling providences we experienced along our journey. There were providences that were easy to the flesh, and there were providences that were difficult for the flesh, but they were all providences, and we accept them as such. And we thank the brethren for their prayers. We know the brethren did remember us in prayer, not only that because they reminded us, but because we recognize the fact that we do share in this opportunity with each other. One of the blessings of being in contact with brethren in various parts of the world is that we have been able to see a little bit more of their personal needs and the needs that we have ourselves by seeing, by reflection, their own experiences. I don't think any of us who sees someone's life lived out is unaffected by it in terms of how we can gain lessons from what others are experiencing. You know that there's been a lot of work done in India in the last 5 to 10 years. And toward the end of the experience, while Brother Varma was doing quite an extensive work of drawing to the truth a lot of brethren, and many of them, the majority of them have stayed with the truth, by the way, Brother Burns and Brother Cunningham discussed the possibility of my going along with Brother Rick last year. That did not work out, but this year we managed to make it, and Rebecca joined us in that journey. You know, it is said, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And Sister Rebecca likes to say, India is worth 1,000 pictures. And in fact, we did begin our trip first going to Germany and spending some time there with the Stalders. We went to Worms, where they have the reformers at a plaza. And you are looking at Martin Luther at the top and many of the others, including Savonarola and Wycliffe and Huss and Melanchthon and others. The brethren there we saw were the Ruthmans of Dortmund and the Stalders of Hofheim. They're moving closer to Bonn shortly. But we left Germany in snow, and it was quite beautiful. But we headed down to Bangalore, India, on a jet that now has internet connection. I mean, just think of it. You sit in your seat, you have your laptop there, and I literally chatted with Jordan, our son, who sends his love also, by the way, and so does Jonathan and their families. But somewhere over Mount Ararat, I'm kind of guessing, we were literally chatting and talking back and forth by just typing on the screen with each other. And I suppose if I had headphones and so forth, I could have literally talked with him. That was kind of a fascinating opportunity. This was March 3rd, and we arrived in Bangalore Airport, greeted by Brother Rick, who got there before us. His flight had changed. Brother Mutaya standing next to him and between him and Sister Rebecca. Brother William John, who went through horrendous experiences in the past few years. One of them was to have a kidney replaced. His wife gave that to him. You'll meet her in a short time. But also, he went through some kind of leukemia problem, and they had him scheduled for dead. In fact, Brother Mutaya, in that picture on your left, and Brother Samuel Prasad, Dr. Prasad, were trying to figure out what to do with the body the next morning. That's how close he was to death. But he's come through. He's done okay. Next to him is Brother Samuel Prasad, Jr., Brother Francis, Brother Prem, not the one from Uti, who Brother Larry was with, and Brother Martis, standing on the complete right side. I'm mentioning their names because, and I won't do this all the time, sometimes because I don't know the names, but these brethren were with us much of the journey in different ways. Brother Dr. Samuel Prasad, whom we refer to as Uncle, because of our amount of time spent with him and his congenial uncle-like abilities and his medical abilities. He has a class in this room that they meet with. There are several classes in Bangalore. Nice name for an apartment house, isn't that? With Sister Prasad and his daughter-in-law standing there. We went from Bangalore to Salem. Bangalore has been the center of much of the activity. Bangalore is located in the state of Karnataka, which is the one to the north and left of what you're looking at where the circle is. And they speak Kannada. Tamil Nadu speaks Tamil, and north of there, Andhra Pradesh speaks Telugu. But we found out that a lot of individuals, among the brethren as well, in all those three states speak Tamil. And fortunately, that's one of the languages that has had the most activity as far as translation is concerned. But I'll mention it right here, and I don't understand the answer for this one yet. But it is to me, a tragedy that through all the years that the harvest work has gone on, and India had its first harvest work in 1919, there's no sets of volumes that are complete, and no perfect translations, if there's ever such a thing. In fact, just recently speaking with Brother Michael Schilling, I just found out that much like, I guess, the Italian volumes, the Spanish volumes don't exist. There's just no translations. And I ask myself, what are the brethren doing? Why haven't we done better? Why haven't we done more? It's just, it bothers my brain. We went to Salem for a particular purpose. The brethren wanted us to go there first because they wanted us to attend an immersion service. And the immersion service took place in what you'd call a grove of banana plantation type thing. And these are some of the brethren who actually were immersed. There were 35 there. These individuals, many of them, not all, had studied with the brethren a series of 53 lessons over a period of a year. They have learned the truth. And one of the things about it is it's not, so to speak, like an immersion mill, you know, where they learn the truth and they are processed, and as soon as they finish the last lesson, they get immersed. It's not that at all. In fact, there are sometimes thousands who have showed up at public meetings, hundreds who have attended follow-up studies, and not that many are really interested in going on to consecration. And when we look at individuals consecrating and being immersed in America, and we ask ourselves, well, just how much knowledge do they have? How much depth of understanding do they have? I think you'd be amazed to find out that these individuals here who have experienced these studies have a very good knowledge of the truth. Not the depth that they should have because they don't have the volumes. And that's going to be true wherever we are, in America and anywhere else. In fact, it's sad is that the brethren have the volumes, and they say their classes study them. But are they studying them, or sometimes just picking them apart? And here we have the immersion taking place. The sister on the lower right, I believe, was from a Hindu background. One of the other sisters, the two brothers who joined us in the immersion cistern actually participated later in doing some of the immersing themselves. We tried not to make this an Anglo thing, you know, where you come to town and you do all the work and you're everything. It really bothered me to think that we would be doing everything, but they prefer that in many ways. They want that extra special experience. Now, this is a strange picture. First of all, this is the tent. This is in a tent, believe it or not. This is like in front of a house and a yard and a big tent and this backdrop that they rented, I think. And we spoke on the subject here of Isaac's bride being called. It was the Eliezer or Rebecca experience. And just to mention that thing around my neck, they present these in Tamil Nadu. You don't have a lot of choice. They just present them. If it's not that, it's flowers. And the brethren had lunch. Now, these are brethren. This is not like public, come and we'll feed you. This is a banana placemat, a banana leaf placemat cut by somebody into this shape, a pile of rice, some gravy, Italy, or what they call it, Italy, which is more rice, and something to drink, and the brethren are having lunch. Interesting point. Some have thought there's a fishes and loaves experience here. May I set it straight? Many of those who came to the public meetings through the years have very good paying jobs. They don't need to have a little biscuit and a little bit of tea, so to speak. They've sat there for hours just for a little biscuit and tea. So if anyone has the thought that it's a fishes and loaves experience, no, really. Now we come to the part where we're going to wonder if the sound will work. We went to this place where I stepped back a bit just to take a picture. By the way, Sister Rebecca is wearing Indian garb called a salwar kameez. It's a long pair of pant type thing with a long tunic over it. It's a very nice arrangement. This is a 15 by 20 foot chart of the ages, which they had on the stage. We were at a public meeting. About 150 were there. And during that 150 presentation, the brother spoke, Brother Cursino, you'll meet him shortly, for about an hour and a half. And the audience just sat and participated. That was the third day. The first day, 250 came out. The second day, 75 came out because it was a rainstorm. The third day and the fourth day were 150 each. And you know how they advertised for it? 15,000 pamphlets, 1,000 wall posters, and also what you'd call billboards throughout the city at key locations. There is follow-up meetings going on right now where 75 to 80 are attending after this particular meeting. This is what we heard when we showed up. Pyramid chart, tabernacle imagery. I don't know what that is. I didn't examine that. And the large posters that they had around the city, those billboards. Basically, the question that was asked here at this meeting was, why is there so much evil? We thought this said, why does God permit evil? But literally, it is the other. And this is inside. You can get an idea how big the stage is, the smaller posters, and the musicians who were also playing in the background to keep the public focused on some hymns and things like that. Notice the size of the brother and the size of the chart. You get an idea. One of the handbills that is given out, and one of his charts locally showing the process from the perfect life to sin to death and then the restoring of mankind. I haven't figured the whole chart out yet. Brother Rick with Brother Cursino Miranda, who developed after he had worked with Brother Varma years ago, but he had developed this 53 lessons, and they are very helpful for learning the fundamentals of truth and getting individuals down from the very basics all the way down through such doctrines as Trinity and hell and so forth and so on. This is where Brother Selvaraj lived, and many of the brethren stayed overnight because they missed their bus. These are the ones who came down from Bangalore, a very long ride, on very, very difficult roads. The traffic in India is very difficult. Brother Rick took the time to explain to these brethren how to use the reprints and others of Brother Russell's materials. We left Dindigul and headed for Manapari, and along the way we saw the typical Hindu temple along the side of the road, the oxen with the painted horns. They could be one color or another, or sometimes both, different colors. The sounds, the sounding of horns is everywhere. It's the if we have a problem, I sounded my horn, or you're in my way, and it's continuous. It's all over the place. People sometimes just beep the horn just to beep it, I think. And on the back of the truck, the word is sound horn. You know, let me know you're coming and pushing me off the road. It's kind of fun. There is a rice field in the upper right, and our driver was Roman Catholic, as you can see. He had his rosary and he had his crucifix. But, you know, the alternate for that was a statue of Ganesh, the elephant god, with the, you know, so this is better. This is Brother Chinnapan, and he is an elder, and the brother sitting down next to him in the picture on your left is the assistant elder. This is very typical, where there's an elder who's the principal elder and an assistant elder. And some of the lessons that were given in these different places were emphasizing the idea of Volume 6 and the electing of elders. Scriptures were brought out from different parts of the Bible to show, for example, in Acts, that in fact there were elders at Jerusalem. There were elders at Antioch, plural. And I remember one sister saying, that sounds like that should be that way, you know. This is, uh-huh. But again, remember, they don't have the volumes in their language. They're just about to get the sixth volume printed in Tamil. They just had the second volume printed in Tamil, and there's a fifth volume you'll see later also. Just near Brother Chinnapan's house, some of the scenery. His son made a complete chart by himself on paper and had it printed up on this nice plastic film. Then we went on to Trichy. Now, the reason I'm moving through this and giving you this map is to show you, we were on the move sometimes two, three ecclesias a day. And this was all done within about 16, 17 days. And there were about 23, 24 ecclesias there. Now, this should be making some noise, so let's see if I can get this thing to work. You'll recognize the melody. No chairs. Those sisters, including Sister Rebecca, will be sitting on the floor shortly. That's Brother Abel. I'll tell you about him later. Let's go on. The elder speaking has his hands up, speaking with Brother Rick, his son standing next to him, or sitting next to him, rather, in Trichy. Interestingly enough, this young man in the striped shirt told us that his sister is the one who basically taught them all the truth. And I'll tell you more about her in a second. Out the window, Brother Rick pointed out the ziggurat-looking buildings. We later got a picture of it off the web. But this is what we saw from our window a little further away. And each of those Hindu temples has many, many, many gods, you know, standing in different parts of it. This is a reminder, as Brother Rick said, of the Towers of Babel. Sister Nirmala, Brother Joseph's wife, explained a lot to us about the existence of different brethren in the area. But I'll tell you this, her brother said that basically she is the one who taught the truth of these other brethren. Now her father's an elder, but nevertheless, she's a zealous sister. She goes out and has studies almost every day with somebody, somewhere. Really zealous. Now you can see her riding side saddle on the back of a motorcycle.
Yeah, I'm doing it now. I decided.
And that's the way they travel. Sometimes there are four on a motorcycle. Mom holding a baby, maybe even nursing the baby, and then a child maybe between her and husband and one up on the tank. And the horns are prolific. You don't hear enough horns here to really make it sounding, but usually they come alongside you or behind you. Look how close we are, blowing the horns out of my way and so forth. Our driver, his name was Prakash, was really very, very good. Very good. Shall I take you out of this? You see how she just sits on there, barely hanging on? They're not moving that fast, but sometimes it's much harder. I think I'll skip the rest for you. That's Sister Nirmala. If you think of her, pray for her. She's out there witnessing to someone every day. The cities are filled with these huge posters for political reasons. The huts along the side of the road, and they are all over the sides of the roads. And some of them are much, much less accommodating looking than this. Half the size and height, they're made out of coconut palms that have been woven together. And in spite of democracy and capitalism, which the country is filled with, poverty is rampant. A dry riverbed and a track to the man in the car on the upper left and a waiting for the train. And we were going from Trichy. Now, notice the name. Tirucci Repali. Sounds Italian, doesn't it? Tirucci Repali. It's very Italian. Anyway, that's the way it sounds. And the reason I'm saying that is because Indo-European languages are very similar. So don't be surprised that there are very similar sounding names. We came to Erode. We met with the brethren. And the lessons in Erode, and I should really be telling you a little bit more about the lesson subjects, included Brother Rick speaking on Daniel 9 and the 70 weeks, and also a lesson on Luke 13. You know, and I can't remember if it was Brother Rick or I who spoke on Daniel 9, but Luke 13 and the fig tree as well. We went on from this location. Oh, this is them singing. I I sent a disc that Brother Brian Kutcher supplied to me of the hymns from our hymn book, all played by him, so the brethren over there would have a bit more of the sound of what our hymn book contains. These are the brethren from Erode, and as you can see, they put flowers. These were flowers that they give us that were dripping wet, and you get soaked with them, and sometimes it leaves a mark on the clothing, but it washes out nicely. Nice sized class. Some discussions with the brethren after the meeting. The same kind of poster again. Why is there so much evil? And a goodbye from some of the brethren as we drove that night late to Coimbatore. And really, it looks like a very well-furnished hotel. And it was. It was the one hotel that you'd say is really... The reason they gave it to us, they said, was that there was a Chinese conference there, and every other hotel was taken except this one. And so we got a little bit more of the deluxe-looking place. In a nearby suburb, Brother Francis Paul is standing speaking. And you notice the charts. You'll notice the tabernacle chart. In this case, Brother Rick is about to speak to them on a subject which is their choosing. They asked us to speak on the subject of the millennium specifically, but Brother Rick was able to cover Matthew 18, Ecclesia Responsibilities, some things on tentative justification. And they asked Sister Rebecca to speak on what sisters do in the United States. And she was able to give, this is their table for Rebecca and myself and Brother Rick. I don't think Rebecca ate here, but we tried to accommodate ourselves to the food. It was a Chinese meal on the lower right and lower left, rather, and some other salad things. The class wanted a picture, so we sat for a picture with the class. And the children in the lower right are just children on the street. They were just going home from school. There are 500 volumes on that back shelf of the fifth volume. Some have said that that's not a great translation. Some say that there's a few errors. We talked with Brother Ernie Kinsley about this, and he thought that the suggestion of putting in an errata sheet into these would be very helpful to save on them being just not as useful. But this is, you see all the brethren have chairs here. This is not common. Maybe 25-30% of the classes had chairs for everybody. And at that location, Brother Rick spoke on the subject of Revelation. He gave an overview. Now, this little chart or diagram here shows you that from Coimbatore, we went up into what is called the Nilgiris. This is where Larry Davis is currently residing with a brother named Prem, who you'll see shortly. And up there was an immersion service at Kotagiri, a visit to Wellington where Brother George is. You'll meet him also. And then from there up to Mysore and then back to Bangalore, because on the 12th, Bangalore convention was going to be held. Unfortunately, Rebecca and I didn't make that. There's one of our friends walking through the streets with his painted horns. This is that little suburban suburb of Coimbatore, Ecclesia. Chart of the Ages, handmade. Behold, I, being eternal life, I am life eternal. There's more, but we won't play. We'll skip this one too. Kotagiri. In the Bible student newsletter, you saw a small picture of three brethren standing by a waterfall at an immersion service. Same place, less water, but when you go there, you pass through this tea plantation. The tall sticks standing in the field are actually trees to give some shade. These are tea leaves from the Nilgiris. And Brother J. Joshua, who did much of our translating and also did one of the public meetings in Dindigul, where we were at that big public meeting at the beginning, waiting for Brother Rick here. He's going to be speaking, Brother Rick, briefly about the subject of consecration, and there was an immersion service. The brother being immersed here was actually in the military when this picture was taken. He had already made plans of getting out of the military. Once he had consecrated, he realized this wasn't appropriate. He pulled out of the military and is now a civilian. Brother J. Joshua is down in the center. Right directly above him is his father, Brother J. Raj, and that's at their home. Much to his dismay, they built a small Hindu temple right out his front door on a property that was not his, but that's what you see when you come to his house. And the little class at Kotagiri It's also a more of a new class. Going to an older established class at Wellington, we met with Brother C. George and his family. He's seated the second from the left, and his son Kumar George is seated next to him. The Kumar's brother Joshua is in Saudi Arabia. You've read about him being in Saudi Arabia and having some difficulties, of course, having freedom of religion there. It's a bit difficult. This was in their back cabinet, some older towers. I must tell you that many new sets of reprints have been sent over. In fact, some were sent over this last year, great quantities. I don't know the exact number, but enormous amounts of books were sent over in 2005 to the newer classes especially. This is another meeting hall by his house, right next door to his house, with a chart of the ages, of course. Up in Uti, up in Wellington, it's much cooler. If you open the window at night, it's in the 50s, and it's not that way down below on the plain. And this is, of course, the group that meets in what is Brother Larry and Brother Prim's rented facility. The translation was done by Brother Joshua here, I believe. Maybe Brother Prim, too. And you'll get a quick glimpse here of Brother Larry and Sister Mariana, who live there as well. And we didn't make it a practice of taking a lot of pictures, but we took that. The brother standing next to Brother Prem, Brother Timothy, the one with the striped shirt or sweater, I notice it's a sweater. you know, you're in India, what's he wearing a sweater for? We're up in the hills, and it's cool. For them, it's cold. Believe me. But this brother, he is the great-grandson of the first Christian in the Keti Valley. His great-grandfather was stoned to death by the Hindus for becoming a Christian. So he gave an emotional testimony, and then his little group sang. I wouldn't say they're quite tapping in time, but there's a tambourine there. They have a language that's not written. It's one of the unusual things that this world still has, where there is a language that there's no... They use Tamil, but they actually have a completely other language that they can speak that has no written form. Now, this is coming down out of those mountains, down onto the plain, and to the only really, quote, churchy-looking building. I say churchy because this looks like a church, and that's what they called it. One of the brothers there introduced me to it. He says, what do you think of our church? It's in Brother Maria Das's, the elder there. We didn't hear anybody playing the drums, but they do use the... That's not a drum. That's something else. From that class... Oh, by the way, at that class, we did have very specific lessons, and I did want to mention that. Brother Rick spoke on the seven trumpets. And then at this class, I had the opportunity to speak on the glorious rain. I was going to do a PowerPoint, but the power in the system wasn't enough to get the thing fired up properly. His name, Pushparaj, means king of flowers. And some of the sisters and brothers would sit in chairs and some on the floor. This is very typical. Now, we went back to Bangalore, and then there's a hiatus here, a gap, because I was quite ill. I had something like dysentery, I guess, and I wasn't functioning. And the brethren were extremely caring for us, a little bit of homeopathic and a little bit of regular medicine, and kind of everything calmed down. But we missed the 12th, and that was a convention day, and Brother Rick had the opportunity to speak to the brethren on the subject of the memorial, a little bit about the sin offering, the resurrection. You may have heard his presentation on that, lessons from the life of Elisha, picturing the peaceable kingdom. It was translated from English into Tamil and into Kannada. If we had been there, we were going to do a lesson because we had sent over a set of questions which were translated into Kannada. And Brother Prasad made the first translation that we know of into Kannada of the Passover chapter. And he was excited about that. And I was excited that he was excited about it because he said he could see the value of the brethren reading this chapter and going through these questions. Even though we didn't do it with them, he was intending to do it with his class and share it with others. And it was our intention to doing that in the other languages, but it never did get translated as questions. We just did discourses on that. Going to the east, Kolar Goldfields, where there is a follow-up meeting going on and a little class that's already started, KGF Bible students. And Sister Rebecca is there speaking with Israel. Now, Israel is the brother of a young woman named Sheba, Right, Sister Marilee? Sister Marilee has been having the privilege of witnessing and studying and teaching this young brother in the middle, his natural sister. I might mention, you're going to see his wife later, his wife is just about finished with her PhD, and she's planning on studying medicine after that. And it's time to end, isn't it? Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. Let me run through a few more pictures and show you a few more things. This was unexpected, but they did it anyway. We told them no public meetings, but they announced it. Sister Lily, Brother Varma's mother. Abel is one of the ones who leads the meetings. There's a little brochure with the 53 lessons listed, if anybody wants to know more about that. The class at Bangalore. And then up by airplane, these are the posters, to Andhra Pradesh. And in Andhra Pradesh, we had the opportunity to speak to this group and stay at this location. Now, don't be deceived. This is Spartan when you get there. It looks beautiful, but it's still Spartan by comparison to what you might experience in just a regular motel down the road. The one or two pictures I still want to be able to show you before we end is the immersion service that's here in the Bay of Bengal, where Suvir, standing on the right, and Sutta, standing on the left between us, was immersed. That's her and him with their family. And then when we went to Rajamundry, we had one more immersion service. This is Sister Ruth Cottlingham, and this is them singing on a rooftop, which could take 150, 200, but there were about 110 or so that there by the end. And then a testimony was requested on Israel. But before it was given, Sister Rebecca said,
Apostle Paul said that sisters are not to teach in the church.
And it was translated. The final little detail here was a train ride to Chennai, and eventually, the dry riverbed, a meeting where we had a chance to talk about some chronological issues, Daniel 9:27, and also the issue of restitution, not being able to follow the Lord's return, as some are teaching, at least we would observe. And then finally, the opportunity to take a look at a second volume, the first chance we had to see the new second volume. And here, we would just like to make a few brief closing remarks, and they are these. The experience was enlarging. Many memories continue through my mind. I really don't have many days in which I don't have long periods of time where I'm thinking about different experiences Rebecca and I had there, personal opportunities to know brethren, and my desire for the brethren in India is to get good translations, and now that I know about South America, I have the same feeling about Spanish. The brethren there are very zealous to witness, very zealous to witness. It's inspiring to see how eager they are to teach the truth. And also, we encourage them to build up their own ecclesias in the process, not to just move ahead. They also, of course, need help. What they don't need is personal viewpoints on the truth. They don't need any additives in the truth message.
Thank you for sharing, Brother Bob, a portion of your trip, for your willingness to spend and be spent in the Lord's service and serving the brethren. We would we'd like to close this session of our convention with the singing of hymn number 312A, and then Brother Bob will close with prayer.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we continue in your presence with yet another request that you would bless our hearts and bless the words that were spoken this last hour, the admonitions and encouragements our brother Dan gave us, the reflections on the brethren who are striving to serve you far away, half a world away. We pray your blessing upon us each. And thank you for your mercy, and especially for the forgiveness of sin. Help us to lift our hands up to help others, to share and to witness wherever, whenever we can. In Jesus' name, amen.